follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I don't know. Tyler, what would you like? Baseball or football? What do you feel?
I've got a little Cubs angst.
You got, well, let's exercise that demon then.
It's Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki sitting in for Sylvie today.
Good to have you in the driver's seat over
Thank
there.
You.
I'm just going to recline over here in the passenger seat.
Get your feet
seat.
Up.
If I,
do a crossword.
If physically I could, I would. But So I know you said you have some Cubs angst, and I would like to hear it. And I would tell you that I understand why you have some Cubs angst.
We'll talk to Jesse Rogers coming up at 3:30. Big Cat will join us in studio at 4 as well.
Boy, that was one of the worst basketball games I've ever seen. His
Wisconsin against James Madison.
My eyeballs are still hurting.
You texted me about it.
Yes.
That's how bad it was for you.
I texted him about it.
Did you?
And he gave me a typically hilarious response. And then I got back to him with something. But, yeah, we're going to have to talk about his Badgers, but. But your angst.
Yeah, so the Cubs will open up the season tomorrow against the defending champion Texas Rangers. That game will not get rained out because they're playing indoors. It feels like all the opening days across baseball are getting canceled right now because of the weather.
Shocking. That's why I have suggested some teams that play in colder weather environments maybe play your opening series in your spring training facility, but nobody listens.
Or just schedule these games in southern climates or domes
That's
or something
fair as
to,
well.
To open up the season. But yesterday, Jordan Montgomery and the Arizona Diamondbacks agreed to a one-year, $25 million deal. And that is the last of the Boris Four to come off the board there. So we saw Bellinger, we saw Matt Chapman and Blake Snell, and now Jordan Montgomery, he's the last of them. And I thought that the
Can
Cubs...
Can I ask you one question yeah. before you get to your mm-hmm. Cubs angst? With those guys, I think there was an expectation that maybe not all of them, but several of them, a couple of them would strike it rich, right? Because they had Boris as their representative.
People thought probably at least three of them would.
So what does it say about Major League Baseball or the Major League Baseball owners or the game, whatever it is? What is the message that you glean from those four Boris clients basically settling for shorter term deals and really not a ton of money? I think you could talk, you know, I think the average yearly value on the Bellinger deal is very high, and it's the highest, I think, yearly salary that the Cubs have ever mm-hmm. paid, right? And then they wasn't didn't that say like
believe,
a Cub record?
If it's not, then it's second or third. Yeah.
Okay, so but what do you think it says about Major League Baseball that Boris and his clients didn't get what they want this offseason?
Well, I think it is more of a Scott Boris issue than anything. Like, we're not talking about Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Juan Soto. Like, those guys are not signing these deals when they're, well, in
so
the case
of
Juan
Soto. Different if one of these guys was
yes.
available.
Yes. Like, look at the deal that Shohei got, right? He got $750 million. He didn't have one of the, he
That's
got
true.
A long-term, was it 10 years, $750 million? He didn't get one of these short-term deals here. I think that baseball, because it was a very thin free agency class, it was nothing that special. Like, I think people tried a little too hard to pump up the tires of Cody Bellinger, Matt
Blake
Chapman,
Snell.
Blake Snell. And I get Blake Snell won a Cy Young, but he's also a guy who we haven't really seen throw extensive amounts of innings
Isn't he
over the
off,
course of his career.
On off.
He's kind of a, well, he was also a product of the Tampa Bay Rays, who are very analytically driven, would not let you go through that third time in the order. We saw the frustrations that Snell had during the World Series with all of that. And so we haven't really seen these drawn-out seasons for Blake Snell as much. And it feels like he's a guy who has to be in prove-it mode, and he's more of a victim of his past team being the Tampa Bay Rays than anything else, I feel like. But it's not like these are super well-accomplished guys. Like, Bellinger, for as great as he was last year, has had a couple of down years sandwiched in between his MVP season.
Well,
last year was a prove-it deal.
Yeah, last year, I'm sure the people are looking at that saying, we want to make sure that's not the anomaly.
Right. And it's not just, oh, I need to really put it together, muscle through some of these injuries to put together that sort of season. I think the same thing can be said about Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman is not Manny Machado. Matt Chapman is not Nolan Arenado.
Right.
He's not in that class. He's fantastic defensively, still leaves some things to be desired with the bat. And then Jordan Montgomery, he's had a couple nice seasons in a row, but what's the market there for a guy like Montgomery? I don't think we're talking about a mega free agent hitting the market like what.
So you're not that surprised that the market did what the market did with those four guys?
I think it was kind of a perfect storm. It was the talent isn't as big as maybe people thought it was, and a lot of baseball maybe trying to save up to get into the running for Juan Soto next year, or I haven't looked at the rest of the free agent class, but I'd imagine it's better than what we saw this year, aside from Shohei. And I think that it's also, we saw the Shohei deal early, and not just that, but the Yamamoto deal as well. And it was just kind of like, all right, after that, there's a significant drop off in class between those two players and what the rest of the market is. And that's kind of where it feels like the baseball world got stuck and the agents got stuck. And it's kind of that in-between limbo that they kind of danced through.
All right. So I hijacked the start of the show. So to your Cubs angst.
Yes. So Jordan Montgomery signs the $25 million deal 1 year with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I look at Montgomery, and a lot of people talked about how, when will you feel frustrated with the Cubs offseason and what they've done? When you look across baseball, not a lot of teams across baseball really made moves.
Other than the Dodgers.
Other than the Dodgers, who spent $1.3 billion with a B this offseason. And I felt like I wasn't going to be upset about the Cubs offseason until all of them had signed. Until we saw the dust settle. And the dust finally settled last night with Montgomery signing with the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks are one of those teams. You know, they've got the Bally up in the air TV deals, so maybe that's why they didn't want to go long term with that. But it felt like this team could use a pitcher, because I don't think people realize what you've lost from last season out of your rotation. Marcus Stroman, for as bad as it was to close, he was pitching at a Cy Young level to open up the season. Justin Steele, he's never had that level of innings load before. He was fantastic, finished in the top three in the Cy Young voting at the end of the season. But can he do it again? Now he's got to do it again. Kyle Hendricks is on the way out of his career as well. How many innings are you going to get out of Hendricks? You bring in Shota Imanaga. I think that's a good signing. You want guys like that in your rotation.
Tyone is hurt.
Tyone,
right?
Like, who knows what the story is going to be with him this year. You brought up the injuries, but also
he wasn't very good for the majority of the year.
He was very up and down last year, mostly down. And now you've got some of these young kids, but in an age where injuries are very prevalent with pitching, and you've got all of these young players that you're trying to bring along from a pitching standpoint, why not go out and sign a guy to a one-year deal?
That's a good question for Jesse Rogers.
Who was nails in the postseason last year, one of the best pitchers we saw in baseball's postseason last year. And also, you didn't have to commit long-term money. I don't understand why the Cubs kind of shorted this offseason, it felt like. And if you feel differently, or if you agree, 312-332-3776, do you feel like the Cubs did enough this offseason?
Because if I was you as a Cub fan, I would feel exactly how you feel right now, and that's that they did not do enough. Like, again, Kevin said, well, just get in like the D-backs did. The D-backs, and then, like, that's fair. And the D-backs were a great story, but that shouldn't be your approach as a team that is existing in the third largest market in the United States.
I think that they did enough in the sense of you can get into the playoffs this year. You bring in some new faces. You make a couple trades here and there. I think you'll be giving different players more playing time that are deserving of it. Morel's going to play more at third instead of going the Mastroboni, Wisdom, and Madrigal route there. I think that you did add a pitcher as well. You bolstered your bullpen, too, bringing in Hector Neris. You did enough to go out and put yourself in a position to win the division. You also bring in Craig Counsell as well. And not just that, but you pluck him from one of the teams who won the division last year. You did enough to win the division, but did you do enough to build a run? And I get that's where, Kevin, you can say, like, the you can just get in, and then at that point, anything can sort of happen. Like, the Diamondbacks went out and beat the NL Central champs last year. Like, did they do enough to make a run at this point?
But you shouldn't be a just get in and take a shot at it. I'm not saying
the Cubs fans should be elated with the offseason or anything that they had, but they're the division favorite, are they not?
They are.
Okay.
Yes.
You can't expect every team to spend like the Yankees or the Dodgers every single season. That's the anomaly. The thing that you can ask for is, are you the favorite to win your division?
Or how about you? What the thing you can ask for as a fan, like Tyler just said, if you do have a question mark in your rotation and there's a guy out there that's available on a short-term deal.
There were several guys available.
Yeah. Why can't you be one of the teams that signs that guy?
I 100% agree. Tyler and I have been talking about that for months. The Cubs need another starter. They need another starter. Who are they going to sign?
Maybe one emerges. Maybe one emerges this year, whether it's Jordan Wicks, who I thought played or pitched pretty well to close the season last year.
This day and age, you need seven starters anyway.
Exactly. And that's why I feel like Montgomery would have been the perfect safety blanket, a guy with World Series experience, a guy who... Now, you would have a lot of lefties in your rotation at that point, but a guy who has been through some of these long runs, has played on really good teams before, and injuries are going to happen. Like, we saw it last year, littered throughout the rotation. This team kind of fell off when Stroman got hurt. There was a period where Justin Steele missed time. You know you're not going to get 30 starts out of Kyle Hendricks anymore. Like, all of that stuff is in the past. Like, you have to continue to build. We see teams who specifically have six-man rotations. This is not an every fifth-day sport anymore. You cannot play that way, especially when you are in a cold early season environment like this one is, where arms are susceptible.
I'm with you 100%. Is this the last year where Cub fans really will be as tolerant as probably they are? I mean, I asked you upstairs, what was 2021 was the end of the dynasty.
It was the sell-off, yeah.
So this is year three of the retooling or rebuilding. Mm-hmm. This is the final year before, if you go to the gate next year with a comparable approach, when you just are asking for your young guys
to
develop.
If you make marginal improvements, like let's say Bellinger has a solid year, not as good as last year, though, and you bring him back for another shorter deal.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he has a player option at the end. It's a two-year deal with a player option at the end of each year.
But I'd imagine...
Was it a two-year or three-year?
3 years, but I can't imagine him... Unless
he has a good year, he's going to be a free agent again.
Exactly.
He's going to, you know, he is going to exercise his player option.
If he's a player you want, he will likely test free agency.
Yes.
I'd imagine. But I just think that, next year... If this approach is taken where a little bullpen piece here, third, fourth starter here, that will not be tolerated by Cubs fans. I think
will it? Or is this just kind of...
By fans?
Yeah.
I think the only way it gets tolerated is if you see one of these young pitchers pop.
2016 becomes more of a distant memory with every passing season.
We are getting closer and closer to 10 years now since 2016.
And feels like it was yesterday.
It really does. And you think about the way that this entire franchise has sort of operated since then, it feels like they're still riding the high and the buzz off of 2016. And that's kind of, it feels like there has been a sense of, you know, we don't need to take the big swing anymore. And we kind of trust in our development system. And who knows, maybe this is the time when you finally develop your pitching. That's always been a struggle with the Cubs organization. But right now, I feel pretty frustrated as a Cubs fan. I feel like there was one more piece to be had. You could have had it on a very reasonable deal, and you just kind of watched it go. Not only did you watched it go to a team who was having TV network troubles and also was in the World Series last year. Like...
It's not like
the Arizona Diamondbacks are some powerhouse franchise, some destination that all these free agents want to go.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
With that said, you still are expecting them to win this division.
I do.
But then again, you are the tallest person in a short person contest, right?
Yes.
If you understand what I'm saying. Like, you are the... you're the best of a bad bunch. It's like winning the AL Central.
Mm-hmm.
Could you eventually get to the World Series if you win the AL Central? Of course. But you are the best of a bad bunch. And that, especially with what the Brewers have done. Listen, I hope the Reds are a good baseball team. I don't have as much confidence in the Reds as I would if I was a Cubs fan in their team. But, yeah, you're the best of a bad bunch right now, or so it seems, before the season starts tomorrow.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. Chris is in Tampa, Florida, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, boys. I'm not upset at all that Montgomery signed someplace else. You cannot be a heavy left-handed rotation in this league. There's too many right-handed power hitters and all that other stuff. And Montgomery would be, for 2 years, your additional left-handed starter. I don't have a problem with that. I think with Wicks and Assad, one of those two will definitely be able to step up because they pitched well last year. I'm expecting them to step up like Steele did last year.
That's your hope, right? I mean, that's the optimistic approach. That is...
They pitched well, so your past last year you hoped they pitched well. This year you're assuming that they're going to continue. So I don't think it's going to be hope. I think it's going to be assume.
Okay,
all right. Thanks for the call, Chris.
I mean, how many starts did Jordan Wicks make? He made
it was a handful.
Seven,
it was probably
seven.
Yeah, I was going to say like a half dozen. Yeah,
he threw the ball well at times. But, you know, his adjustments to the adjustments that will be made to him are also going to be a determining factor. So I get it. You liked what you saw. Chris liked what he saw from Jordan Wicks last year in a limited presentation. But the league will adjust to what they saw from him, will they not? And maybe his stuff is just good and he'll have an even better this year than last year. You don't know. But, I mean, to suggest that is, you know, you'd rather ride with that versus riding with somebody who has been a more proven commodity. And again, this is an environment now. This is a game where you need seven, it sounds redundant, mm-hmm. but you need seven starters over the course of time.
Haven't we seen multiple Cubs pitching prospects reach the majors and they have a lot of steam behind them? Everyone's really excited about them. And then it just doesn't work. We saw that with Caleb Killian. We saw that last year with Wisniewski. Like, I think if you're relying on one of your prospects to be that anchor, sort of back the rotation guy, that's kind of burned them in the past.
Well, I think as a fifth guy, it's not the worst thing in the world. And the other note that Chris brought up too was the lefties portion. Like, Justin Steele's a lefty, but who cares? He gets everybody out,
right?
So I don't count him as a quote unquote, oh, lefty is going to be susceptible against certain lineups there. Like, that stuff, to me, I don't care about as much. If you get guys out on both sides of the plate, it doesn't matter what arm you throw with. And that's kind of where I sit on Justin Steele.
Yeah, I think it's great to plan on Jordan Wicks being an even better pitcher this year. But I think if you're banking on that, if that's a certainty for you, I think that, I'd be careful with that.
Yeah.
So, I don't blame you at all for having some angst or having a little bit of disappointment that the Cubs didn't go out and get another arm. Not at all. I would think that you would expect them to go out and do that as a team that resides in a big city.
I liken it a lot to what we saw at the trade deadline last year. And I think you guys made fun of me for it because they went out and got Candelario, which I thought was a good move. But I was saying, like, hey, I want a left-handed reliever. I want, like, one or two more relievers because this bullpen I don't think can hang for the rest of the year. Now, Assad pitched a lot better than I thought to close out the year. I thought we'd see him lose a lot of steam. I don't think it was as bad as what I was expecting. But this was a team that could have used a few more relievers last year. And it was like you put yourself in a position to contend for what you wanted for, but maybe not go out and just fully take it. If the Cubs had another reliever or two, it felt like they would have been in a position to fully take one of those final playoff spots.
What does Vegas have their win total at?
83.5?
Mm-hmm. Or would you play the over?
I would. I think this can be an 86, 87 win team.
And that should be good enough to win this division.
I would think so, yeah.
So you have angst, but you also have confidence that they will win this division.
Yeah. And it feels like this is a team that's built on a lot of X factors right now, which is good enough if you're in the NL Central. It's not good enough if you're in the NL East or the NL West. Like, Michael Bush is a giant X factor over at first base. What's he, if he hits with pop and he's everything that's been written up about him as a hitter by all the publications that cover the minors and prospects, then okay, you have something there. If Christopher Morel, if you look at the way that the Cubs have developed third base defense over the last couple of years with guys like Wisdom, and even I thought Nick Madrigal was pretty good defensively last year, way better than I thought he would be. And if Morel can kind of be that guy, then okay. I think Ian Happ is another one of those guys. He's one of those guys who he can be an all-star on a bad team, but what can he be on a really good team? And then Seiya Suzuki, he's been tearing the cover off the ball in the spring, but...
And finished last season
playing very well. Strong. But what is he going to look like in April through June?
Well, guess what? All of these questions begin to be answered starting tomorrow.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, we'll check in with our resident baseball expert, Jesse Rogers, when we come back. Tyler Aki in for Sylvie here on Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
I'll give you $5 if you can name the band.
Y'all have talent.
Couldn't even guess.
Charlie, do you know who it is?
No idea.
Kembo, you're a music guy. You know who this is?
Yes.
I don't. I am a music guy, though, Tyler.
You are?
Yeah. I gave you a good one from earlier, remember?
What did you give me earlier?
Coulter Wall.
Oh, yeah. He was playing the new... Kembo just got the new WWE video game.
Yeah.
So he's been wrestling online lately.
You've been wrestling online? Can you interact wrestling? Can you, like, wrestle other people? Like, is
virtually.
Right. That's what I meant. I mean, you could definitely wrestle other people in person, but can you wrestle on video games with others?
Of course, yeah. We're in the future.
They can control their wrestler and you control yours?
We're controlling our respective wrestlers.
That's still, listen,
what's
get it.
What's your go-to takedown?
I know I sound like an idiot here, as usual, but I still am baffled by the way that you could be sitting in a home on a couch in Scottsdale, and Heavy Kevy could be sitting at home somewhere here in Chicago, mm-hmm. and you could be wrestling against each other in a video game.
It's a beautiful
that
future,
is crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah. How many years, how long have we been able to do that? How many years has that been? 10?
No, longer than that.
Probably like 20.
20?
You think 20?
You could play Doom in like the 90s online, except most people had slow internet connections at the time. But now everybody can do it because everybody's got the high speed.
I just can't believe you compete with somebody online over the computer or over whatever. It's just, I'm baffled.
If you don't have an Ethernet cord, then don't even show up.
Right.
At this point.
Well, you can't. Yeah. You've got to be hardwired, right?
Yeah.
I got the Wi-Fi. It works fine.
And that's why you're bad.
Yeah.
No, I'm very
good.
That's
why you suck.
I'm very good.
Let's head on out to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline, where we find Jesse Rogers, and he's brought to you by your Chicago Toyota Dealer Association. Toyota, let's go places.
Express your angst to Jesse.
Jess, I got a little Cubs angst I got to run by.
I've been listening. I just got done with the Sox and Tigers workout day. We could talk about that in a moment.
Why?
But I have been listening.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I know. But I have been listening. Good conversation. I understand your angst. I think there's a lot of contending type teams and their fan bases upset today after they see the lowly, and I only say lowly because they don't traditionally spend a lot of money, but they have this offseason, the Diamondbacks signing him up for a deal that any team could have had. What's the saying? There are no bad one-year deals.
Exactly.
Right? The Cubs could have had him at that amount, you would think. I don't have any necessarily inside information, but you would have thought the Cubs could come up with a bigger package for him, just like a lot of teams could have.
But Jess, you're exactly right.
They need him.
That would have sent them into the luxury tax, and this is obviously all about that, isn't it?
Oh, it's until further notice, until they say something different publicly or privately, the answer is yes. Not only would it have sent them into the luxury tax, they would have exceeded the second threshold.
Now, when you exceed the first one, and I don't want to bore everybody, it's a 12% tax. If you exceed the second one, the tax goes up to 42.5%.
Ooh, that's pretty.
That's the rate. So if Tom Ricketts doesn't want to go past the first one, you know he doesn't want to go past the second one.
42% of what?
Of the money above and beyond the threshold.
So you're paying 1.42 for any money. So how far off are the Cubs from that threshold right now?
They're pretty close to the first one. And if they add to their team, you know, it all depends. I mean, if they let a guy go, you know, like who comes up and down, they're that close. But let's assume in July they add enough and they go past the first one. That's 12%. I think 10 teams went past the first one last year. The Cubs were not one of them. So let's just say there is a chance they'll go past the first one, but I don't think they want to go anywhere near the second one, which is $257 million payroll.
Okay, but let me ask you this question, okay? If you go over the second one, and you said then it's 42%, the penalty is 42% of the amount that you go over.
Yeah.
So say you go over $20 million, then you pay about an $8 million penalty. I'm not in the business of spending anybody else's money, but is it worth an extra $8 million to potentially give yourself a chance to not just get out of the NL Central, but possibly make some noise in the postseason, where if that guy gives you that advantage, you're going to recoup the $8 million plus?
I mean, of course I agree with you, but internally, the way they might think about it is, okay, now we're paying $33 million for Jordan Montgomery. Because you add the 8 to the 25.
I get it. I mean, that makes sense.
The Yankees, we're in the same boat with Snell and or Montgomery, but the Yankees are at a surcharge that's a dollar for dollar. So in other words, if they spent $20 million on Montgomery, it's really spending $40 million. And they refuse to do it for Snell or Montgomery. So, but of course, they're going to blow past the first one. They're repeat, you know, it gets worse if you're a repeat offender. If you go past the tax in consecutive years, that's worse than doing it in 1 year, or 3 years is worse than 2 years. There's all sorts of these things, but the bottom line is that has to be the answer. I heard your caller bring up too many lefties in the rotation. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break. You don't ignore one of the best left-handers in the game, and he really is at this stage. He's been on playoff teams, World Series teams. Just because you have too many lefties. And by the way, Craig Counsell's the one that said, look, if you can get outs, I don't care if you're a lefty or a righty. It's about getting outs. And if it's five lefties, it's five lefties. So that's not a big deal. It really did have to come down to the money, because the bottom line is, with Javier Saad and Jordan Wicks in the rotation, that doesn't scream World Series as much as you might like those guys. And here's the problem with the Cubs rotation. The floor is raised. It's a decent rotation, but the ceiling is kind of low. Jordan Wicks can only do so much as a change-up throwing lefty. Javier Saad can only – these guys don't have world-class stuff. They have good stuff. They have major league stuff. Even Imanaga is, like I've said before, is a three. So the ceiling is low, even if the floor is higher. And that's where a guy like Jordan Montgomery, his ceiling would be as high as Justin Steele, if not higher, on this Cubs team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they miss him just like a bunch of teams. And last thing, here's the irony of the whole thing. What have I said to you all offseason, Waddle, about the Cubs and what they think about the wild card and everything else? Tom Ricketts, and he's not the only owner, looks at the Arizona Diamondbacks as the roadmap. 84 wins, but they make the World Series. But that's the irony of it. The Diamondbacks didn't even rest on their laurels. They put back into their team. They put payroll into their team. So everyone's looking at them as the roadmap, yet they're not even looking at themselves as the roadmap. They see the Dodgers and feel like, okay, we have another level to get to. It's them. So let's add some payroll. They have the highest payroll in franchise history, but it's still only $175 million.
Yeah, I saw last night on Twitter that Jordan Montgomery was second in Fangraphs WAR among all left-handed starters, only behind Justin Steele. So based off of last year, you would have had the top two lefties in all of baseball on your roster. So, but getting in, you brought up the luxury tax too. How good do you think this Cubs team would have to be around the deadline for Ricketts to be open to going into that next luxury tax threshold?
I think they'd be open to it because at some point.
But like how good, Jess?
I think similar to last year. I think it's really up to Jed. Now, maybe when you're talking about those tax thresholds, Jed's case better be locked down, right? What's the difference if you're at $200 million, you add $10 million? You're not going past the debt. But if it means going past the tax threshold or whatnot, then your case better be even more important towards winning a division or getting to the playoffs. But my point is, I don't think Tom has ever stood in the way of them trying to win in the moment, like at the deadline, when they needed Aroldis Chapman, they went out and got him. You know, so I feel like last year they proved to be just an okay team, but they went out and added and not subtracted. And I think it's the same. I think it's up to Jed. If he thinks they're good enough and they have a hole somewhere, he will go out and add. We're always about extremes. Let's not act like Tom Rickets is the cheapest owner in the league, but let's also not act like he's Steve Cohen, right? Mm-hmm. He's somewhere in the middle, something I've said to you guys often. He's not going to stand in the way of trying to win in that moment in July if Jed thinks they need it. But I could see him saying, we're not doing two thresholds here when we don't have a World Series team in March.
Give us some White Sox juice. Come on. What do you got, Jess?
I've never seen this. Okay. They just announced the roster, right? The rosters are due. Actually, I think they're due 10 a.m. day of. But anyway, they just announced their roster to open the season. There's exactly one pitcher from opening day last season still on the team. One. And if you want to include catchers, there's only one pitcher or catcher from opening day last year, and that is Michael Kopech, who doesn't even have the same role. I've never seen a team turn over their pitching staff and their two catchers like the Sox did in the offseason.
Let me ask you this question on that note,
Jess. I've never seen it.
Is this just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, or is there purpose and is there a bright light at the end of this tunnel?
Well, there's purpose, and there may be a bright light, but it's not this October. The bright light is years away. Again, they're back to that. They're back to years away. It would be, the upset of all upsets if this pitching staff came together to really vault this team into contention. I've never seen it. Like, you can't start over with a pitching staff and expect them to do great things. I even asked Chris Getz today, are you as curious as the rest of us? Garrett Crochet, first-time starter. Eric Fetty coming over from Korea. Mike Soroka from Atlanta trying to revitalize his career last good year, 2019. Chris Flexen trying to come back. Like, every single guy has a challenge he's trying to overcome. There's no major league resume right there staring at us that says this is going to work for any of these guys, let alone all five. So it's such a roll of the dice this year with that group that this is such a long-term project. It's really hard to expect much. Now, if their position player group has peak years, okay, because that's a veteran group that has some talent. But pitching is still the name of the game, and it's a completely new staff. So, they don't know who's closing. He even said, we're not announcing roles, although I think Kopech's going to get every chance to close. We don't really know the order after Crochet. We know who's starting after, but we don't know who 1 through 5 really is. Maybe that will emerge. So everything's up in the air on the mound.
I just don't feel like there's anything to cling to right now. I got a little depressed hearing you talk.
I do have one Sox question for you, Jess. Is the rest of the baseball world as cynical about Chris Getz as the leader of this White Sox front office as maybe Sox fans are?
The answer is no. I think that's a good question. The answer is no. He has respect around the league. I think in my short-term time with him, I think he's earned some respect. I said in the offseason, I liked the hires, even if a couple were from Kansas City. Like, you know, every losing organization has a couple good people in it, and hopefully Chris gets hired the right ones from there, right? So I think he's earned the respect. I think it's been really interesting to see the White Sox change their hierarchy from a two-tiered executive front office to a one voice. I think that's been important. It is kind of weird not to see Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams at like today's workout, for example. I'm still getting used to that. But I think it's been important for Jerry to have one voice after having two for about 20 years. He's got one. And I think that's been important and a difference maker. And I think he does have respect around the league from people. and I'm willing to give him that chance. Look, he understood the challenge. He did not sugarcoat anything. Go back to the GM meetings when he famously said, I don't like this team. And he went about fixing at least some of the culture, and certainly has addressed some needs in terms of defense and things like that. But it's a long overhaul that needs to be done. He's just starting.
Jess, any updates on the Shohei situation?
The only one to give, and our investigative team did write about it today at ESPN.com, is they have asked repeatedly if and where Ohtani's people have referred the criminal charges over to, like which organization, and they will not answer. And our people have called the police, whoever it is, the FBI, the IRS, like they've called all the entities, and no one will respond to, yes, we have opened up an investigation on Ipe, the interpreter. So again, there's some gray area. There's some cloud over this thing where are they going to sweep this under the rug? Is this interpreter who allegedly stole $4.5 million going to be let off the hook because he really didn't steal $4.5 million. The fact that we can't get an answer on, yes, the Anaheim police, the L.A. police are investigating this in terms of a theft, that's very interesting to our investigative people that do this for a living.
It's one of the many things you and I talked about the other day, Jess. And I'm a few credits shy of my legal degree. Is there a precedent out there, or is it part of law that once, if there is substantial evidence that a crime has been committed, the police or the authorities will investigate it, even if the aggrieved party doesn't want to press charges?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer.
My family is not filled with a long line of lawyers.
Yeah,
not at all. Most of my folks worked in machine buildings.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding, if they don't press charges, I mean, they could just say it was a gift, right? He could just, you know, if he really wants to protect the guy, say, oh, no, he didn't steal it. I gifted it to him. It's fine. You know, so
after
I think
after that press conference where they said massive theft has occurred.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's saying something, one thing publicly. What is he saying privately to the police? You're right. He'd be really putting himself in trouble in terms of at least the public eye, because he would have been lying and all these things if he lets this guy off the hook. So I don't understand how this doesn't result in criminal charges against Ipe. If it doesn't, then something fishy is going on. I think almost everybody in baseball I've talked to sees it the same way. This is either theft or it's not. There's no in between.
I think I will finance Jesse to work solely on this story, because whoever breaks this story is going to be, you know, it's going to be famous. Famous Jesse. You're already famous, but
yeah.
Like,
well, I told you the other day, I did talk to someone that golfed with the bookie.
Right.
And there's some, and that person told me he thought, according to the bookie, that it was Ohtani that was doing the betting. So that would fit with this interpreter not getting charged, but that's not what's been found out by our investigative team. You know, this is just hearsay. They need hard evidence, and that might be the difficult part.
I hope that somebody sees this through, though, Jess, because as a rabid Reds fan from back in the day, look,
right.
I know what Major League Baseball wants to do. They want to sweep this under the rug. I get it. Shohei is the most important person in Major League Baseball at the moment. They can't get away with doing this. Like, they need to vet this entire situation and make sure all of the facts come out, or they lose whatever credibility they may have.
Well, and that's why I want to, again, credit our team at ESPN, because, like, I'm interviewing Chris Getz today, but there are people dedicated to just this story that have investigative chops like you would not believe. I mean, these are good people. Tisha Thompson, who broke the story in the first place, I mean, she did a hell of a job. So my point is, if it can be uncovered, our people will uncover it. But it could be something that may never be uncovered, you know, because maybe they were doing it together and Ipe hit the button on the bets. And you know what I mean? Like, who knows? But if it can be uncovered, our people will uncover it. So it'll be interesting. It's far from over.
Yeah.
All right, Jess. Thanks.
Thanks, Jess.
I had one more. I talked to Javi Baez today.
Yeah.
He's in town with the Tigers. Mm-hmm. Our buddy, right? Struggling so bad, right? He had a terrible spring, terrible year. So he told me he took up golf. And I made him laugh.
That'll
for
fix
a
your
second.
Swing.
Yeah, of course.
Well, Right, exactly. But I did say at least that ball won't move on you.
Oh, that was good. What did he say? What did he say, Jeff?
Did he laughed, after that?
He smiled. In the last couple years, he's become a lot more relaxed and forthcoming.
$150 million will do that for you,
yeah.
Probably.
No, but usually, you know, you would think the thing that's a big weakness for a player they might be sensitive about, but he's actually, like, been okay with those kind of questions. Javi, how's the work against the slider? And he's just smiling, like, still working on it, you know. So he sort of gets the public narrative that he has. And, yeah, I think he feels bad he's making that much money and not producing. You know, I was talking to the manager, A.J. Hinch. I mean, can you think of – I'm sure there's other players, but are there that many players with such an extremeness to their game? You know, he can be El Mago and potential MVP like he was in 19, or he can be one of the worst players in the league. I guess Tim Anderson qualifies for that right now too. Both those guys have such extremeness in their game. And A.J. Hinch, I mean, I think he's literally praying for the good version of Javi, because if he gets it, Detroit could be okay in that division. They have some young talent. But if he gets the bad version, it's bad. It's bad.
Thanks, Jess.
All right, Jess.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Guys, I will talk to you. Enjoy opening day tomorrow.
Yeah, safe travels. That's Jesse Rogers on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Listen, if Shohei was gambling on other sports, I don't care. Right. I don't care.
This is a non-story at that point.
But you can't, you know, you can't keep Pete Rose out of Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame and then not do an extensive investigation into this. I'm not suggesting that the investigation will turn up anything nefarious, but...
You got to poke around?
Yes.
Yep. All right, we'll take some calls when we come back. 312-332-3776. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
The afternoon drive is easier with Waddle and Sylvie. Chill out. They're coming right back. ESPN Chicago. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
You got it in the film lab today.
I did. We didn't spend a ton of time in there.
Just like 10 minutes in there.
But enough to, you know, just kind of develop some initial thoughts.
Dropping some knowledge. We should do a little bit of your film findings a little later on.
Okay.
Just some things that you saw. Again, only a limited basis. But
we watched a little bit of wide receiver film. And I think what we should do Friday, because tomorrow we've got baseball, is maybe focus in on about a half hour's worth of wide receiver film work.
All right.
Upstairs.
Let's do it. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, here, Frank's on the road. What's up, Frank?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good. Well, a little background. I went to my first Sox game in 1956, so I've been around a long time. But I enjoyed your show before the interview came on about the Kool-Aid everybody's drinking about the Cubs. I love it. Every year, the same story. Two things you forget there. One of the greatest choking teams in the history of baseball. Okay, last year on September 7th, when both newspapers and both sports channels gave them a 90% chance of making the playoffs, they were doomed. Okay, so
well, I don't think it was the newspapers doing that. Don't shoot the messenger here, Frank. Like that,
You guys try to make a Cadillac out of a Ford every year. They're a good team.
I'm a Reds fan.
They're
I'm a Reds fan,
team,
Frank.
And they're in the garbage. They're in a garbage division. Okay, so. I'll listen to your comments, but I really enjoy you guys. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Appreciate it.
I think anyone who resides in the Central, whether it's the American League Central or the National League Central, is basically in the garbage dumpster.
Isn't it amazing that our sports are determined by geography? Like, think about the Phillies and the Braves who have gone back and forth last year. Like, the Phillies have put together miraculous regular seasons, but haven't won the division because the Braves are a juggernaut. But they are a prisoner of where the city of Philadelphia is located. I think it's one of the dumbest things we do in sports.
What is that? Like, you're...
To a degree, some playoff spots are determined by where...
Geography is destiny.
Yeah. You are prisoners of geography.
So what would you rather do is, like, when the season begins, just have a blind draw?
Not that. I think you can keep your conferences or leagues the same. but it's a free-for-all. You just get rid of the divisions.
So you want to get rid of divisions? But that's part of, like,
that's part
winning
of
the NL North, the NL Central, or the NFC Central back in the day. Mm-hmm. I know it's the North now. That was part of it. That was like what we were taught you, win your division. Like, I am all for division rivalries. You lose division rivalries
Who
if you
cares?
Do.
Who cares? All these guys are friends now.
I do. I want a little division rivalry as a fan.
You can still have your rivalries. You can just have them with
you, nah, can, you can win still your have, division.
Win
Come
your
on.
Division. That is such an antiquated.
I'm an antiquated
that
person.
That is what I like to call a five-channel take, all right? A five-channel take.
Why?
Because it's coming from the people who grew up with five channels.
That's true.
ABC,
accurate.
NBC, CBS.
That's mean-spirited, but it's accurate. But I still enjoy a good division rivalry. I do.
Okay. Fair enough. To each their own.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have Barstool Big Cat
we'll
in studio.
Ask him whether or not he's a division guy or not.
We'll ask Barstool Big Cat all that when we come back. Waddle and Sylvie.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.